schedule for all of the year of 2016. I'd like to encourage everyone to pick one up and to begin reading for the entire year God's Word. There has a place where you can check it off and you can read a few chapters each day, and by the end of the year, you will have read through the entirety of God's Word. So let me encourage you to do that. Also, tomorrow night, Monday night for the Master, 6:30, over in the Annex, and it will be a great opportunity to serve. Come and be a part of that, and I know that we'll have great blessings as a result from that. When I go to the Old Testament, I find those many great characters, those wonderful examples from which we can and should learn. One of my favorites, and it could be that it's one of your favorites, is the character of Daniel. Daniel was a man that went through a number of things, and he survived and flourished in all of the ways that he engaged. And from that, we can learn many things. Tonight, I want us to focus in on chapter 6, and for the next few minutes, learn some lessons from what Daniel went through and the things that he has and can teach us. Tonight I've simply entitled our lesson, The Dedication of a Disciplined Disciple. And no doubt those words, they characterize Daniel in a small way, but I hope in the rest of the things that we see this night, tonight, we can see Daniel in a greater way. When all our conflicts and all the conflicts that happen to us in life, and when our will conflicts with God's will, and we choose His will instead of our own will, I'm convinced that our commitment will deepen, it'll grow, it'll solidify, and it'll become stronger. Christian character is developed when our faith is tested, and God certainly allows us to experience trials and troubles that enables us to grow. James 1 in verse 3 speaks of the fact that we need to be mindful of those things that happen in our life, those trials and tribulations, that when we're tested, it gives way or brings about patience or endurance. When we study the life of Daniel, throughout his life, he faced significant difficulties. And as we meet these trials, no doubt, we understand that we can rely and lean heavy upon the power of God. And as he did, he grew. The story of Daniel in the lion's den is a familiar one to us, and it is truly one that we can learn a lot of lessons from. Daniel 6, though, this evening is no doubt a chapter that shows us to remain faithful and is exemplary in regard to remaining faithful when the pressure is on. Daniel of the lion's den, no doubt, brings up a lot of imagery in our mind. I can't even begin to imagine the scene or the scenes that were involved in the life of Daniel, of all that he went through. Think about where Daniel was. Daniel was in Babylon, in the palace. He had formerly lived in the country of, we'd call it Palestine or in Judea. He had been uprooted from his home at a very young age. Some believe he was anywhere from 15 to 16 years old when Nebuchadnezzar took those slaves into his territory of the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. Taken away from home. Now, as the crow flies, between Jerusalem and Babylon, it's about 500 miles. But that was certainly not the route that they took. The route that they took would about double the journey, so around 976 miles they traveled, and he was away from home. He was given a different name. He was forced into service, and yet even with all the pressures that existed in his life, he remained faithful, faithful to the very end. From Daniel 6, and Mark, thank you for reading that lengthy section of Scripture this evening. What are some of the lessons that we can learn as we notice here the life of Daniel? Go back to chapter 6 in your Bible and let's notice some of the lessons, and I believe that will be beneficial for us all. One of the lessons, we come down to verse number 3, and that is that we see Daniel, and as he lives and as he operates, that one of the things that he is able to maintain, and he does maintain, is an excellent spirit that is within. That is what we read there in verse number 3. that among all the things that were going on and all the trials and tribulations, Daniel rose head and shoulders above the rest, and he was a man of character. He had an excellent spirit. Daniel was one of those three leaders directly under Darius. And, well, as the three were there under Darius, Daniel, he was the one that shined above the other two leaders because he had that excellent spirit. This excellent spirit denotes his attitude. Daniel had a good attitude in his work and in his life, and this made him the object of attack. The word excellent in the passage is from the Hebrew yatar, and it simply means excellent, preeminent, surpassing, extreme, extraordinary. What Daniel had and what Daniel possessed was greater and bigger than any others that he was around. The poet said this, "In all the daily tasks we do, the Bible helps us clearly see that if the work is good and true, we're living for eternity." So whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever circumstances might fall around us, maintaining that excellent, that extraordinary, that supreme, that preeminent spirit, that attitude, will shine forth bigger and better than anything else. The story is told about a banker that recognized that one of his employees was deserving of a major promotion. One day, before the promotion was granted, they were down in the cafeteria, and the bank manager found himself right behind the deserving employee in the cafeteria line. As they waited to get to the cashier, he noticed that employee reached over and took a Snickers candy bar and slipped it into his pocket. And when he went through the cashier, he did not pay for it. Well, as you can about imagine, this made a deep impression upon that employer, and he did not give that employee the promotion. Just a few pennies, a few cents would be what that candy bar would cost. But the bank president, the bank manager, he reasoned that if any employee could not be trusted in the little things, he cannot be trusted in all things. And therefore, he recognized that when we can be trusted with even the little things and maintain that excellent spirit throughout and everywhere, cannot God trust us with the big things as well? Daniel was, first of all, one that maintained that excellent spirit within him. He was a man of character. And that was the reason that he maintained that excellent spirit. A second lesson that we can learn here is that he was a man that was faithful and flawless regardless of the circumstances. You come down to verse number 4 in our text there, and as the text unveils, the governors and the satraps, they sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find any charge, any fault, because he was faithful. It goes on to say, nor was there any error or fault found within him. You know, when that can be said of us, that is a great compliment, a great commendation. A young man was interviewing for a position in a small business firm, and he had a neat appearance, and he made a good impression upon the owner. He even brought a very neatly typed resume on which he listed a number of references. He listed his preacher, he listed his Sunday school teacher, he listed a church deacon, and all of them were his references. And the owner of the business, he looked over the resume, looked at the young man for several minutes, and then he said, and listen to what he said. He said, "I appreciate these recommendations from your church family, but what I would really like to hear from is someone who knows you on weekdays. Who knows you on weekdays." It's sad to say that there is a sharp contrast sometimes between the way some Christians are and act in church and how they behave in the world. That is a reality. We understand that. We don't want it to be that way. But we understand that that is the case. Daniel sets a prime and principal example of, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter when the time is, it doesn't matter who you're around, he's going to be right and true to God regardless of the circumstances. And you inventory his life, and the conclusion will be faithful, faultless. The principles they profess on Sunday, we should profess and practice every day. Daniel, he was an ideal model. He was a model in his relationship both with God and man. He did not live by a double standard. His daily conduct was consistent with his spiritual values. And as we read back there in verse number 4, his enemies, they tried to find some charge against him, but they looked, and obviously they looked, and again, no doubt they looked, but no fault could be found. His walk in the world was in harmony with his walk with God. I can hear ringing in my ears right now the words of my father. In a sermon or sermons that he's preached, he would say, "Would our church friends be shocked if they observed our actions and heard our speech at our job or in our home?" I can hear those questions asked by Dad over and over again. Folks, a Sunday Christian will also be a good weekday Christian. Daniel is a good example of that. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. It doesn't matter the folks that you're around. He's going to be faithful regardless of the circumstances. The poet wrote this: "Consistency, how much we need to walk a measured pace, to live the life of which we speak until we see Christ's face." Daniel, he was a man of consistency. And you can find him every day in every way acting the same way, and that way was faithful and faultless. Go down to verse number 5 of the text and notice here. In verse number 5, we see Daniel. He's a person of the book. Now, read with me verse number 5 and notice how it implies here the importance of being a man, as Daniel was, of the book. Verse 5 says, "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless what? Unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Daniel was objective. He was objective in his faith, and the object of his faith was God and his law. Those guys, they looked and they hunted far and wide. They couldn't find anything, any chink in the armor. They couldn't find any faults. They couldn't find anything in the woodshed or in a closet. So they said the only thing that we'll be able to do is to look at him and find it in regard to his law, the law of his God. One man said this. He said, "It's certainly a commendable thing when people possess character that is so impeccable that they can't be accused of doing wrong except in matters relating to their faith." What a demonstration Daniel provides for us. What an example Daniel provides for us. No wonder his contemporary Ezekiel would say about Daniel, as well as Noah and Job in Ezekiel 14, verse 14, that these were righteous men. The text says here that unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God, that's the statement we find there in verse number 5. How did they know this? No doubt their conclusion makes it clear that Daniel did not hide his faith in the one and only true God. That you could see it in the places he would and would not go. You could hear it in the things that he would and would not say. That you could know it based upon the things that were enthroned upon his heart. This man is righteous. This man is faithful. This man is faultless. How do you know that? Just watch him. Just listen to him. They knew he was a strict monotheist, worshiping one and only one God, the only true God. And therefore, what did they do? They planned to ensnare him by forcing him to refuse to worship other gods and continue worshiping his God. That's the snare that they set. But yet, when we read about Daniel here in chapter 6 and in the entirety of the book of Daniel, we see a man that is not ashamed to be seen praying to his God. We see a man that is not ashamed to be worshiping his God. We see a man that is not ashamed to be serving his God. Once again, the poet said, "The life that counts must toil and fight, must hate the wrong and love the right, must stand for truth by day, by night. This is the life that counts." I'm sure you've heard this question before. I've used this question in sermons, but it could be that you've entertained this question in various places and in various times from various people. The question is this: if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That is something that should be considered by every Christian. Really depicts the way one is living, what they're saying, how they're seen and how they're viewed. Now, in this verse, verse number 5, the very last phrase, concerning the law of God, here's the only way to catch Daniel. Here's the only way we can grab him. Here's the only way we can... So we'll devise a plot wherein he's forced to choose between obedience to God and obedience to the Medo-Persian law. And then we'll watch him and we'll wait and we'll catch him. You know, but Daniel didn't care if the whole world differed from him, did he? Daniel didn't care if everybody else on the face of this earth was doing wrong. He was going to do right. And the reason, he knew God's word, and he knew the right thing to do, and he knew the wrong thing was what he would not do. No doubt he was a man that had the greatest of convictions. What great examples we find here from Daniel. He was in precarious situations. And even when the pressure was on, he rose to the top. He was a pattern for them and for now. Go a little bit further. Notice down in verse number 10. Here's a fourth lesson. Daniel, he was praying without ceasing. He was no doubt a man of conviction. One man was heard to be praying this: "Lord, make me like Daniel." Amen. Oh, what a beautiful prayer. Now, when you consider this in verse number 10 about Daniel, let's read it once again. It said that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he was fully aware of what was going on and the time frame and even the deadline. It's been signed. He knew that. He went home and it says he was in his upper room and with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times the day and he prayed and gave thanks before God, as it says was his custom since early days. There might have been a change in the law. There might have been a change in the circumstances. There might have been change in the way that folks saw it, but it wasn't going to change Daniel. He valued his relationship in a greater fashion than he valued the things that people thought or even did. He was going to serve God regardless. His relationship with God was preeminent. I think we could say, and I believe this is a fair assessment, that Daniel was not a fair-weathered friend when it came to serving God. He was not one that would simply be here today and be gone tomorrow. He was convicted. That was his daily relationship with God. That was the preeminence in his life, and that governed his his existence, that determined his daily activities. Folks, character is tested when one by what one does, but character is seen by what one is doing when no one else is around. Someone said, "You want to know what kind of person you are? Then turn the lights out. Or be far from home." Daniel was all of that. Who would know? He was up in the palace. The rest of the nation of Israel, they were down in the common areas of the Chaldeans. Some 1,000 miles from home. Who would know? I don't think Daniel prayed to be seen. I don't think it was a show with him. He was seen when he prayed. He didn't debate about it. He didn't hesitate. He prayed like he had always done. There was no interruption in his actions. I complained to Mama and Daddy, time and time again. We would be out to eat. A lot of times on Sunday night, we would go to McDonald's, and we would always pause before we ate our food. And Dad would always say, "Son, we're going to pray." And he'd call on me to pray, or he'd pray, and I would just fuss. "Look, Daddy, everybody's around. Everybody's watching us. Everybody will see us." And I said, "The only reason we pray is because we're the preacher's family." And boy, he was quick to snap back, and he said, "Son, no, the reason we pray is because we're Christians." See, folks, it doesn't matter who's around or who sees us or who knows about it. When we serve God, that settles every issue. You know, one's conduct is the overflow of one's doctrine. What's internalized must be outlived. Daniel's conduct speaks volumes about the holiness of his conduct, about the holiness of his internalization of the Word, the law of God. Folks, what we believe should always affect how we behave. Let me go back over that one once again. What we believe should always affect how we behave. Certainly did with Daniel. When Daniel's belief was challenged, what did he do? When his belief was put on the line, what did he do? He knelt in prayer. I asked myself a question this week while studying for this lesson. I said, "Mark, how do you respond when you're challenged or tempted to disobey God's word?" If I follow the example of Daniel, I'll go to God in prayer. Daniel wasn't a spiritual sprinter. He was one of God's marathon men. He began young by purposing in his heart that he would not be defiled with the king's choice food. That's the passage in Daniel 1 verse 8. And he continued throughout the rest of his life, running with endurance until the end, refusing to obey the law that would result in disobedience to God. The writer of Hebrews exhorts this same tremendous action. "Knowing that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, putting away the sin and the things that so easily ensnare us, and running with patience that race called the Christian race." Folks, remember, praying frequently will lead to praying fervently. Let's sum it up. Go down to verses 26 and 27 in our text, and notice there that we find the lesson of the fact that Daniel, he was one that was blessed by God, and those that are blessed by God certainly understand that they will be influential in the people they're around. Daniel was a man of courage. His actions resulted in God being glorified. Go down to verses 26 and 27, and let's read it once again. Here, Darius is writing this decree that is to be spread throughout all the land. Daniel has been emancipated from that den of lions, unharmed. And now when Darius is seen and known and heard all of this, it makes the deepest impact upon him. He writes, and he writes to everyone. Verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. He's the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? This made a difference in this king's life. The remarkable thing here, and this is remarkable, no doubt, but the remarkable thing here is the proclamation. Lauding out many and the attributes of God and the kingdom. But, you know, you can't be commanded to believe. Oftentimes when people are commanded to do something, they'll recoil and in resistance. The proof was in the pudding here. Darius made it known of what had happened, and what had happened was worthy of faith and trust and belief. Folks, it's likely that the royal command did little to create faith in Israel's God. You can't be commanded to believe. What did create faith, though, at least in the king, was Daniel's faithfulness to the Lord. Daniel was an example that carried over into other people's lives. Now, that tells me, Mark, you've got a powerful example. And what you do and where you go and what you say, the things that are involved in your life, you're teaching and preaching sometimes without even knowing it. So you better preach and live and do and speak the truth. In the year 155 A.D., there was a man by the name of Polycarp who had been a student of Peter and John, those two apostles. Polycarp in Smyrna was a faithful leader, a dedicated disciple of the Lord. The Romans raided Smyrna and they took Polycarp into custody. I'm narrowing it down and just paraphrasing what took place. But Polycarp came under the gun. The Romans told Polycarp when bringing him into one of those famed arenas where the lions would come out and the people would cheer as the lions ripped these many times Christians to shreds. Polycarp stood in the arena and was told by the Romans, renounce your God. Polycarp refused, gestured to the assembly, let me tell you about my God. The Romans, renounce your God. Polycarp knew what would eventually happen to him. Polycarp, 86 years old at the time, he said, 80 and 6 years have I served him and he has never done me wrong. How can I, in this hour, deny my king? As history goes, it was at that point that the Romans took and they lit the fire. And Polycarp, because he refused to turn his back on his king, he died for that. I've often wondered, did he learn that dedication of a disciplined disciple in part from Daniel? Whether he did or whether he didn't, folks, there's lessons for us there tonight. It's my prayer that every one of us here this evening is living faithful to the Lord. If there's not, then we need to get right in God's sight. To come to Him in faithfulness of hearing the Word and believing it with all of our heart. To confess the good name of Jesus. To repent of our sins and to be baptized for the remission of those sins. What if we have done something that is wrong? God will not overlook that. We must get right with God. If we ask Him, He will forgive us if we come to Him in repentance and confession. Folks, one of these days, the most important thing in all the world will be, what is the condition of our soul? And since it will be then, why not should it be that way right now? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this evening for any reason or any way, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.